chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we will be reading verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. From the reading of the two texts this morning, I would gather that you would understand that I will be speaking about judgment. And we've read the text of two different judgments. We read of the judgment of those that are lost in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. And then we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, of the judgment of those that are saved, or the bema seat, as some will term it. But today in our society, no one wants to take judgment, or no one wants to take blame for the things that they do. There's lots of people that they don't want God, the preacher, or the Bible to tell them that they're doing wrong. But I'm here to tell you, and I'd like to bear that out with some scriptures today, that they're going to be judged one day, lost or saved. You're going to stand before the Lord, and you're going to give an account for everything that you have done in this life. One of the things I thought about while I was thinking about this sermon was, when I was growing up, there was a comic strip that may still be out called The Family Circle. And I remember one episode in that where there were several episodes, but one in particular I remember, that they were all sitting, the family was gathered around the table, and someone was kicking the table, and it was causing a whole table to shake. And the dad says, "All right, who's kicking the table?" And all the kids go around, "Not me, not me." But you see in underneath the table a little ghost-like figure that's got "Not me" wrote across him, and he's kicking the table leg. Well, I think there's a lot of "not me's" out here in the world. They don't want to take blame for the things that they do. But as we'll bear out in the lesson today, that they're going to give an account. You're going to give an account for everything that you do, you think, here on this earth. Judgment, as I looked this up in, I think it's Webster's, Mediterranean, one of the dictionaries. It says, the ability to make considered decisions or form sensible opinions. we can go on that, but I believe the Bible gives us a better definition of judgment. And there are different forms. In the Old Testament, judgment carries both legal and theological meanings, which reflects the embeddedness of the concept of the covenant traditions of Israel. And there are some references in Deuteronomy that will bear that out. I'm not going to be reading all the references. It's for time's sake. But all these, you can look these up. All these references on judgment are bore out in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Genesis, let's turn to Genesis chapter 18 for a second. Genesis chapter 18. I'll get there in a minute. Genesis 18, verse 25. That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, as be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So here we have the Lord Jesus. He's going to be the Lord. He's going to be the righteous judge. He is a righteous judge. And everything that he does is going to be righteous. And everything that he does is going to be just. And we have no reason to question him. So, and then we have the word judgment. Often in the Old Testament is rendered as act as a magistrate. In Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 bears that out. And then we have in the New Testament, it is rendered to decide, give verdict, declare opinion, to investigate, scrutinize, discriminate, distinguish, and all those the Lord will do in his judgment. So biblical teaching that we want to look at, God appears in the Old Testament very commonly in the role of judge of all the earth, of which we read there just a few minutes ago, or more generally as a God of justice. So everything that I mentioned, everything that God does, he does it justly and rightly. Judgment does not simply imply an impartial and detached weighing up of good and evil, but rather the thought of a vigorous action against evil. It is on this understanding that the people of God are summoned to exercise judgment in turn. So we are to imitate God, and I'll get into a little bit more detail on this a little bit later. We are to do righteous judgment. A lot of people say that we're not to judge, but if you look in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, people take that out of context. We do have a right to judge, but we have to judge righteously, and we have to do it discriminately. The New Testament continues the Old Testament stress upon judgment as belonging to the nature of God and as part of his essential activity. And we find that in one reference to that in Romans chapter 1. If you'll turn to Romans chapter 1. And verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So there is a stress in the New Testament, a strong stress, that we are to judge, or the Lord's going to judge, and he's going to judge righteously. But the spotlight in the New Testament on judgment, or is judgment to come. And there are several instances of judgment in the spoken of in the New Testament. And I'm going to refer to a fellow's book that I know real good, by the name of Brother Tom Ross. He has a book on elementary eschatology. And in there, I gathered, I'm not going to go to all these references, but there's like six different judgments, five or six that I'm going to mention here. The one would be the judgment seat of Christ, or the bema seat. That's what we read about in Corinthians. And it takes place in heaven during the tribulation period on earth. And the purpose of that is to receive the saved. It's for the saved. It's to receive rewards for our service that will determine our place in the millennial kingdom. And that's illustrated in Matthew chapter... well, I've left off the chapter, but it's in Matthew, the parable of the talents. I believe it's chapter 25, verses 14 through 23. And then also the parable of the pounds in Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 19. And then we have also the judgment of the nations. And this is going to take place after the Lord comes back. And some of them will be during the first advent, and then some of them will be after, in other words, whenever the Lord comes back to the earth, there'll be a judgment then also. The judgment of Israel will take place. And then we have the judgment of the tribulation martyrs, and then the judgment of Satan and the reprobate angels. And then lastly, we have the judgment of the great white throne judgment. And that will be of those that are lost, those who never come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that is found in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, which we read earlier as our text. But I want to look at, for a few minutes, the basis of this judgment. God will use His Word to judge. So, a lot of people, as this kind of goes along, kind of with Brother Joe's devotion about people, they don't want to hear the Bible. They don't want to hear the Ten Commandments. They don't want anybody telling them what to do, and they don't want anybody judging them. But I'm here to tell you that they're going to be judged from this Word of God, which is the Word of God. And He is going to follow, carry it out to its full extent. The basis of judgment will be man's response to the revealed will of God. It will therefore include the entire range of human experience, thoughts, words, and deeds. It will be just and completely convincing. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19, the judge of all the earth will do right, and every mouth will be stopped in the acknowledgement of the justice of His judgments. And then we have the judgment of Christians. And the scripture, there's a lot of scripture in different various places that talks about the judgment of Christians. And this judgment is not to judge whether they're saved or lost. This judgment is a judgment that you're going to be held accountable for everything, and you're going to receive rewards, whether they be rewards of good deeds that you've done, or they're going to be rewards of deeds that you have done that are evil, and that, basically, you're not going to receive any rewards for evil deeds that you've done, evil thoughts. And the reference to that, as we've already mentioned, Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, talks about the parable of talents. And that explains, it's a parable that explains how the Lord's going to reward his people. Let's talk about his people here. And the latter part of that, the latter part of that chapter is not talking about that, but the first part of it, verses 14 through 30, talks about the parable of the talents. But the second part of it is talking about the parable that where it talks about the judgment of the sheep and goat nations. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, every man's work will be tried. We read here about where your work is going to be tried. So a lot of this is repetitive, but the Bible is repetitive. And it once I believe when the Bible repeats something over and over again, that's things that we here in our life and our flesh we're going to deal with and we may have problems with. And I believe the Lord, just like the old school teacher, that the way she taught was she done things line upon line, precept upon precept. Every month they get out and do the same thing over and over again. And the kids will say, well, we just done that last month. But you'll remember that when you grow up later on. You'll remember that. So repetitiveness helps us to remember things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17 talks about the judgment according to every man's work. So you're going to be judged according to your works. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of these keep coming in as several references that we need to follow out. And they will bear out that the Lord is going to judge. And he's going to be a righteous judge. Next we have human judgment. Man is called upon to imitate God. Just as God is a righteous judge, so men are called upon to judge righteously. So as we look in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, where I talked about where a lot of people takes that out of context and says that they're to judge, not to judge no man, but we're to judge, but we're to judge righteously. And then also in John chapter 7, verse 24, judge not according to the appearance. We also have to recognize that not to judge according to the way things look, but to judge righteously. Hear every man out and to judge him properly. And also we have that the Christian is expected to show discrimination and judgment in moral matters. So we have a reference in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, where the church is to judge matters between brethren. So the church has a responsibility, and the church is the people. We have a responsibility to judge matters between the brethren. And also, let's turn to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So it's talking about judge your own self. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So here we have a stern, if you want to call it law, or we are to judge ourselves sternly before we judge anybody else. We are to judge ourselves. The Christian is also given frequent warnings against the danger of passing judgment on others in a way which attempts to anticipate the final judgment. And it also gives Matthew chapter 7 again as a reference. But we are to, like I said, we are to judge ourselves first. And then we can judge in light of the Scriptures others. When the new age is fully manifested at the return of Christ, Christians, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 and 3, will be called upon to exercise judgment upon the world. So, lost or saved people, we are going to judge the world in one of the judgments that follows. Present attitudes is what I'd like to look at for just a few more minutes as we start to wind things down. Man today rejects out of hand the idea that he must one day render an account for his life and its decisions. His loss of conviction concerning an afterlife. People want to think as heaven as an afterlife, and there is heaven, but they don't want to think about the part of afterlife which is eternal. Heaven and earth, or heaven and hell, both are eternal. They just want to look at the heavenly part of it. But there is a judgment part as far as hell goes, and it's not going to be just burn up and then be over with. It's going to be eternal. Just like heaven is eternal, hell is eternal. This loss of conviction concerning an afterlife has contributed to our moral indifference and pragmatism of our times. So that's where we have a moral, in our times today, we have a moral indifference and this world and its pragmatism what we're looking at in our lives today. As I mentioned, judgment is inevitable and awaits us all. In face of this modern tendency to dismiss future judgments, there is the greater and more urgent responsibility placed upon the Christian church or the Christian tenaciously to maintain the biblical perspective. So we are to continue to maintenance our lives. We need to look at our lives and judge ourselves, we as Christians. And then we, therefore, according to the Scriptures, have a right, if you want to call it that, to judge others based upon the Scriptures that we read, even what Brother Joe read this morning in the Ten Commandments. But in conclusion, lastly, I must mention the most important judgment of all, the judgment that took place over 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. This judgment was for the sin of all the elect. And if you trust in Jesus Christ, then He took your judgment upon Himself, and you are declared just and righteous in the eyes of the Father, and you are free. So we see that judgment is spoken of much in the Bible, and I have only touched the tip of the iceberg here today. We must keep our eyes, minds, and hearts in tune with Scriptures and be diligent in the study of them to see how we ought to conduct ourselves in light of judging and judgment to come. So with a meek, humble spirit, let us seek the will of the Lord in these matters. That is our lesson for today. May God bless His word.